So I'm here with Himanshu from the SQL Server development team. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. So what's your role in 2008? What features did you work on?
So I'm a program manager on the ADO.NET team, and I specifically work on the SQL client and the managed OLEDB and the ODBC providers. And in 2008, I worked on adding file stream support to SQL client and adding support for the sparse columns in SQL client. So the file stream support is actually pretty cool. It lets you access the new file stream functionality in SQL Server 2008 via a managed class in SQL Client. So you can just instantiate a new class called SQL File Stream, and you can read/write data through it using the normal file IO stream APIs.
Sure. So do you want to explain a little bit more what file stream is all about?
Sure. So file stream is a new unstructured data storage type in SQL Server 2008, which lets you store data as files. And it actually stores the data as files on an NTFS file folder, and it lives outside of SQL Server, but it is completely managed by the SQL Server engine, right? And you get the benefits of the transaction semantics on the file data, but in the same time, you get the advantage of having the performance of file IO APIs, because you're not inserting data in SQL Server using insert statements, but you're rather using file IO APIs. Now, that's not to say that you can't use insert statements. You know, if you have very small amounts of data you need to insert, then, yeah, you can definitely go ahead and use insert statements, right?
It behaves the same way as var binary max. Yeah. So it's just an attribute of var binary max.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's a pretty powerful, you know, feature to have where you can store files outside of your SQL Server. So now if you have considered an application which and you have a media library application, and
right.
You have a lot of music songs that you store, right? So up until now, you would have to store the metadata information in SQL Server, and then if the music song is less than, or you know, if you have a video library, and if the video is smaller than 2 gigabytes,
right.
Only then you can stuff it into a var binary column in SQL Server. But now if you put this file stream attribute on var binary column, you can actually put as long a file as you want, and that's pretty good because it lets you have a single source of your data.
Sure, and you get like manageability as well for SQL Server. So if you do backup and restore, can go along there in its own file group, which you can backup and restore independently. Mm-hmm. So file stream is a cool feature.
Yeah, and one of the advantages of this feature is, so the size limit of the file does not count towards the size constraint exposed by SQL Express.
Right.
So if you're running into the size limit of a database in SQL Express, you can store your data into a file, and you can that way.
Yeah, so you can have data. It doesn't count towards it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. So when you were doing the native client piece of the file stream APIs, is that right?
So SQL client. So SQL client is the managed component. It's basically the system.data namespace in .NET framework, and it's the managed component which lets you access do data access on SQL Server via C# code without actually having to do p invoke into the native client we have.
Okay.
So we have a native client known as SNAC, SQL Native Access Client, and that's what applications which are written in C++ go through. So SQL client is completely built on top of, actually all the way down to the wire, it's a completely managed stack. So you don't have to pay the cost of jumping to a native via p invoke calls.
I see.
So, yeah.
So what's it like? So if a developer wants to actually use FileStream, mm-hmm. what in their code, what sort of libraries do they need to include, or what does that look like?
So, you know, it's actually pretty straightforward. So if you have an existing application built on top of, you know, which is doing data access to SQL Server, then you don't need to include any additional libraries. It'll just be part of what you're already using, which is system.data.dll. So you will already be getting that library in your project. All you need to do is you need to get the path from the server, and you need to create a new SQL file stream object. So actually, I don't know if you want, I can probably try to see if I have a sample code which we can show.
Okay, maybe we'll do that later so we can spend some time getting it prepped. But so what were some of the challenges when implementing the feature?
So one of the key things we were wondering when we were...
Let's go. Won't be the first time it happened, so.
Yeah, I should probably put it in mute.
So you were saying the challenges?
So one of the key things that, you know, we have to work with is we want to provide the file I/O access APIs, but at the same time, there has to be a, you know, an understanding that the devs understand that what they're coding against is a transactional object, you know, and each operation is a transaction on the server. So basically, to be able to, you know, have a model in such a way that it reflects the file stream APIs, but at the same time is not too restrictive. And, you know, one of the other things was that the file stream support in SQL Server 2008 does not support some of the operations that are supported on native NTFS files. You know, things like you cannot modify the ACLs on the file because the ACLs are managed by SQL Server.
Okay.
And things like that. So,
What are some of the other things? Because I've worked with file stream somewhat, but I haven't dug deep enough to know where the boundaries were. So, modifying ACLs, what are some other things that you can't do?
I think mostly it's around the security permissions and the file attributes, and most of the other things you can do. You know, you can do read, write through to files. You can open file for read. You can open it for write. You cannot create a new file using create file API, or you cannot use the existing file stream APIs that you have in system.io namespace to actually create the files.
Right.
You have to do that on SQL Server by inserting a 0 byte or, you know, 1 byte of data into the column.
That's another tricky thing.
Yeah.
So if you have a file stream column and it's null, then
you can't get a handle.
File.
Yeah, you can't open a file right off of it. The first thing you need to do is you need to insert a 1 byte data into the column using an insert t-SQL statement.
Right.
So the SQL Server actually goes and creates a file for you.
Or you can just have it as a default for the column,
exactly.
Which if you know you're always going to have data in there, easier way to do it.
Yeah. So the reason we didn't do it by default is because we didn't want to create a large number of files for data that would have been null.
Sure.
So, yeah, and, you know, that's another thing. And another challenge we had while developing this feature was how do we provide the ability to read and write data into an existing file while preserving transaction semantics.
Right.
So the current solution, the way it works is when you open a file for read-write mode, which basically, you know, brings in the existing data and lets you append to it or insert into it, right?
Right.
We create a new file on the server side, and we copy the data from the existing file over into this new file.
Okay.
So an entire copy is created on which we actually perform the read-write operations.
I see.
And when the transaction is committed, that's when we move it back. Actually, that's when we update the internal metadata to start using this new copy. If you roll back the transaction, we'll completely, you know, just discard this new copy that we had created. So one of the aspects of this copy operation is, right, like let's say if you have a 4 gigabyte file.
Right.
And if you want to open it for read-write, it's going to take a few seconds to copy a 4 gigabyte file, and it's not going to be as fast as opening the file just for read or even just for write.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, that's something which the developers we are being very clear in our messaging, and we want developers to be careful about, because if you want to open a file for read, then it's much faster because we don't create a copy, we just open the existing file.
That's a great point.
Even opening a file for write is much faster because even though we do create a new file for write, we do not copy the data into it. The write file opens as an empty file, so you know, you're basically writing into a blank file.
Okay.
But if you open a file for read-write, we create a new file and copy all the existing data into it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good point. So that's file stream. What other? So I guess I didn't realize that. So what's the whole component you work on?
I work in the ADO.NET team, but this component is SQL client.
So in ADO.NET, I thought that was part of the .NET framework, but you're on the SQL team. So
right. So ADO.NET does actually ship as part of .NET framework, but the technology in ADO.NET is owned by the teams in SQL Server because it's about data access and, you know, how we access data in SQL Server and as such. And, you know, we felt that it would be best if the team who owns the underlying SQL Server also owns this technology so that we have both technologies working pretty well, you know, well integrated with each other.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So what are some other improvements in your area?
So the other things that we have done in 2008 is added support for the table valued parameters.
Right.
So table valued parameters is actually another pretty cool feature. What it lets you do is it lets you ship one table as a single unit off to the server. So, you know, consider a scenario like, let's say, so, you know, 4 years back, I was developing my music application to store all my music in it. And the way I was doing it is I would add an album and an artist into an album and an artist table.
Uh-huh.
And then I would add the songs, you know, like let's say a song, an album has, let's say, 10 songs. I would add 10 songs as different rows to a separate songs table.
Okay.
Right? And the way I did it was I had a stored proc to add it to the albums table, a stored proc to add artist to the artist table, and a stored proc to add each song to the songs table, right?
Right.
And on my client side, then the code looked like I would first add the album and the artist, and then I would iterate over the songs, executing stored proc one at a time to add each of the song.
Right.
So what table valid parameters now lets me do is I can define a table type on the server, which is basically a type which on which, you know, it has a table schema. So like, let's say I can define a table type called songs table type.
Right.
With two columns in it, the track number and the title of the track.
Right.
Right. And then I can define a stored procedure which takes in the artist name, the album name, and the entire songs table, which is a collection of 10 songs, as one single call.
Right.
And send it as one single call to the server. So instead of having, you know, let's say one call for artists, one call for albums, and 10 calls for 10 different songs, which is a total of 12, I can have now one single stored prop call, which sends this entire information down to the server. So it's much more easier to write the logic on the client-side code. The entire logic of inserting the songs is encapsulated on the server side, and it's much more performant. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is. It's a cool feature. So that, my understanding, really affected that whole stack down to the very low levels. So the whole Snap protocol and
the entire TDS protocol, right? Yes.
So
we had to, we basically, it's something which just goes all the way down, you know, to the bottom of the stack. And it's not just an internal detail of how the provider does it, but it's the entire data is sent as one single unit to the server all the way down on the wire.
Sure.
So it's, so it was actually, like, it's going to be very useful in OLTP scenarios where you need to do bulk load, and you also need to do some data cleansing on those rows when you're inserting the data.
Cool. So. And my understanding was that that piece and that low-level TDS thing is what, months back when CTPs were shipping to Visual Studio and SQL Server 2008, and they didn't work together for a little period, was sort of painful for early adopters, and it was related
to
this feature.
The version. Yeah,
so that's all taken care of.
Yeah,
so
it's
good to hear that. So
what happens is, you know, we have a TDS version which the clients and the server keeps in sync with. So
right.
There was a client, there was a TDS server version bump within the CDPs, and you know it was never in any of the actual RTM products or SP1s, but you know we had a TDS server version bump, and there was no corresponding bump on the other side.
Sure.
Which caused this
a little mismatch there.
Yeah.
So one thing to point out is that, you know, yesterday SQL Server 2008 RTM,
right,
and as well did .NET Framework.
It did
SP1
actually,
RTM
it was pretty cool. Yeah, so we, I was pretty excited to see all that stuff, and you know, we see all the stuff that we have built finally be going out and going out to customers, and hopefully we're pretty excited about that. Customers will be able to use all the cool stuff that we've added. So,
cool. Well, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks.